RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
We spoke with Sal Grover, founder of the Giggle app, back in mid-February, not too long ago. And if you want to bone up on what we're talking about there, it's available from our replays menu, that interview. Just go to Reality Check Radio app or website and search Sal Grover or Giggle app and you'll get there. Sal is coming to New Zealand and we thought we'd find out about that and catch up with where the case is at. Sal, welcome back to RCR. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, first up, you're coming to our country on a speaking tour around a few venues. And I can tell folk that that is Auckland, New Plymouth, Wellington, Christchurch. What will you be? Well, I can imagine what you'll be talking about generally, but what is your aim in your public speaking on this tour of us that's coming up?
So a few things. So I'm so excited about it because I have a lot of ties to New Zealand. My dad is from New Plymouth, but that's why we're going to New Plymouth. And my daughter's dad is from Rotorua. And so I've got lots of family in New Zealand. So I'm very excited about it. And so it was the Women's Rights Party in New Zealand who asked if I would come over to talk about Tickle v Giggle and women's rights and sort of the attack on women's rights that is coming from gender ideology. And then also in New Zealand, you have politicians who are wanting to add gender identity to your Human Rights Act. And so the Tickle v Giggle case is kind of like just looking into the future for New Zealand if they were to put gender identity into the Human Rights Act. And so we can get into that of why that is. So basically just, you know, sounding the alarm and making sure people are aware of what is going on.
Okay. And we'll get to that. Just a quick reminder for folks listening right now. It's such a great name for a case too, by the way. You know that already. Everybody knows that. Tickle versus Giggle. Giggle was your app, right?
Yes.
You want to just quickly explain what that app is and was, and then we can get on to the Tickle bit.
Yep. So Giggle was a social networking app exclusively for women where women could find roommates, freelance work, emotional support, lesbian dating. We had so many different categories that you could find a pen pal if you wanted to. You could find like someone to go and do exercise with, someone to travel with. Like, we just tried to think of anything that a woman would want to use, sort of some little woman-only corner of the internet and cater to it. We also had a woman-only Twitter as well. So it never really got off the ground because we were literally cancelled right out of the gate in February 2020. We were just still doing testing. We hadn't launched yet and trans activists found it and inundated it with one-star reviews. And that's how I was brought into all of this. I didn't know any of this stuff was going on. So it wasn't something that was created in response to what is happening. It was something that came under attack because of what was happening. I never thought that creating an app for women would be that controversial, considering there are lots of sort of what they're called niche social networks when they're for a specific demographic. And there's always been lots of them. You know, there was Grindr for gay men. And then there was dating apps based on religion and things. So I just sort of thought, I just didn't really think that there'd be a problem doing something for 50% of the population until I found out that politicians and institutions are actually accepting that men are women if they say they are, which, when we first came under attack, I remember saying to my mom, like, you know, we'll just tread water for a bit. This will blow over soon because the claim is so preposterous. I was like, no one really honestly believes this. And I was very wrong about that.
Yeah.
It turns out they'd already changed laws and people are sticking to the, like, really, really sort of going down with the ship on this. But anyway.
So that was like about 4 years ago now.
4.5 years ago, yeah.
All right. And that's a reasonable stretch. Not too long, but it's a reasonable stretch. So I think you set it up with your mum, didn't you, from
mm-hmm.
memory?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gosh, she would have had her eyes open too, I would imagine.
Oh, I mean, it has literally turned our lives upside down because, you know, you invest in a company, in a startup and to create it. And then, you know, we made the decision that we were going to stick with it, that we weren't going to just fold it up and give up and, oh, this is too hard. And so because we've decided to stay with it and fight for it, you have to sacrifice pretty much everything else.
Yeah.
But I say this to people all the time. There's very few times in your life when you know that you are 100% correct.
Hmm.
Usually there is some doubt and you think like, oh, I'm just working on opinion here, or do I need to learn more? This is gender ideology is such nonsense and men literally are not women. So I know I'm right about this. And so it's just, we'll get there eventually. And I can honestly say where we are now in terms of society, like greater society realizing what is happening is so different from 2020. I mean, in Australia in 2020, no one was talking about this on any grand scale. And it was petrifying at the time. Now we're starting to get somewhere. So I'm optimistic.
But the infrastructure was being put in place to push this ideology all along in a kind of stealthy way, do you think?
Oh, completely. Completely. I mean, this is the thing that the narrative is that trans people are the most, you know, oppressed minority ever to have existed. And this is like a provable lie. They actually got the laws changed in stealth. In Australia, they did. In New Zealand, like with what they're trying to do now, I think it's a very odd decision for in 2024 to try and do this. I don't think it will work ultimately. But in Australia, they did it in 2013 when no one knew what was going on. It was under Julia Gillard's government, our first female prime minister. They took the definitions of woman and man out of the Sex Discrimination Act and put in gender identity. And so what it effectively did is muddle the entire act. And so it's not that it's been working well for the last 11 years at all. Activists and institutions have used it to intimidate women and businesses. And it's just that we just said no. I've honestly just felt like I had no other choice but to say no and to challenge it. So, here we are in Tickle v. Giggle, the most ridiculously named court case of all time.
That happened under a female prime minister of Australia. Mm-hmm. What do you think was going on in her head? Because in the end, she's working, a logical thinking person would say, against the interests of the very person she is.
Yeah, I mean, Julia Gillard has dined out for the last however many years on the fact that she was the first female prime minister and her misogyny speech. All the while, she actually took away all of women's rights in Australia because the Sex Discrimination Act is where our rights are legally protected. So she completely abolished them. Look, she wasn't sitting there, you know, sort of masterminding the whole thing. The person who I would put more responsibility on ultimately is Mark Dreyfus, who's he was the Attorney General then and he is now again, and the Australian Human Rights Commission, who really lobbied for these amendments to happen. But I would have a lot of respect for her if she actually just sort of came out now and went, yeah, look, you know what? I didn't understand the implications of what was happening. That was a really big mistake. Let's work together to fix it. I'd have so much respect for that. I think, you know, people make mistakes. We don't always do the right thing. We don't know what we're doing. You know, we're all human. But she has doubled down, actually, in a way. The few times that it's been broached with her, she's doubled down. If anyone who wants to be a woman is a woman. Or I think at this point there is a don't ask her any questions about this clause because she's trying to stay as far away from it as possible.
Yeah, because this is, you could argue, the ultimate over-the-top form of misogyny that you could ever imagine. Basically erasing and absorbing whatever you want to digesting a gender to the point where it kind of doesn't exist as a standalone thing anymore. That's next level, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to understand exactly what it is that they are doing with this word gender, because for a lot of us, we knew the term gender as like the polite synonym for sex, so that the word sex just wasn't on forms or said often in like society, whatever the reason. And especially in America, and I'd lived in America for 10 years, so that's very much how I knew the word gender. And transgender activists have sort of capitalized on that and used the confusion to their benefit. But when they're talking about gender, they're talking about it as this gender identity that is separate from your sex, and it's kind of like a soul that you have, and it can be mismatched from your physical body. And so while you may have like a male body, internally you're a woman, and so then you need gender affirming care to match the body to the soul. It's very religious in its claims. And then, you know, I think it is a very specific type of evil, because they then go and charge people thousands of dollars to take hormones and undergo irreversible surgeries to create these bodies that aren't even the bodies of the opposite sex. They're just cosmetic changes to a male or a female body, because human beings can't change sex, and we are our biological sex at a cellular level. So you know, the whole thing is a complete lie and a very dangerous one.
And you can see why people argue that men can breastfeed, because if you don't count biological sex, then, you know, anyone can be anyone, and then you can sort of relabel everything. And you can almost say, you know, well, it's still correct in the way I think, you know. Plausible deniability against the other argument.
I mean, it is absolutely astounding to me that anybody in mainstream society has accepted the men breastfeeding thing. I mean, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and so I was sort of in that world 2 years ago, and, you know, where it's, you know, breastfeeding is better than formula, and there's so much pressure and shame and all of this sort of stuff. And then those same people will say, oh, no, it's fine for these men to take all of these synthetic hormones, these drugs, to simulate some type of lactation. It's child abuse. It's using infants as a prop in this identity. It's just, I think it's monstrous.
Well, there's emotional blackmail all the way through it, isn't it? And we could talk about that endlessly. Just before we get onto the tickle, but I take it there's been no case taken against a kind of reverse version of what you're doing, where, you know, the opposite of what you might be doing, where you've got women who are transing to men, ringing someone up and having a go because they're doing what they're doing. I haven't heard of a case. Has there been any?
No, I did hear that there was an Australian Human Rights Commission complaint. It was settled. I think at some point they didn't go further with it, but there was a gay male spa that was being pressured to allow women who identify as men into it.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a gay man, so I only have some sort of like some very, very far removed knowledge of what happens in these places. But from my understanding, gay men don't want women there.
No.
And it is different. In general, like there is a reason why, as a movement, they're not leading with trans men and men. The focus is on trans women are women. Yeah. It's a very sort of this predatory male led movement, and there's not a lot that these women who claim to be men can take from men. You know, we're not seeing them take roles in like important roles or awards or grants away from men. But they're not winning anything in sport. The demographic that is affected most by them is gay men.
Yeah.
But with the men who claim to be women, I mean, they're taking everything from us. They're taking sport, they're taking spaces, they're taking all of our language, everything. But, you know, I do always argue that I don't think that this is just a women's rights issue. I think that this is an issue of freedom of belief, freedom of speech, and freedom of association for all of society. I think it sells it short to say it's just women's rights, although women's rights are the first to have been abolished by it.
Yeah. Tickle. Just remind us who Tickle is again to make the Tickle versus Giggle, and then we'll move on from there.
So Tickle is a man who goes by the name of Roxy Tickle, who wanted to use the app in 2021, I believe. I have no knowledge, like no memory of him trying to like onboarding and me kicking him off, because we did it so often. There would always be men, and we'd get under attack quite frequently. And occasionally a man would get through all of our security and we'd just remove him. So this particular one was not out of the ordinary, nothing to remember. But then in January of 2022, I received an Australian Human Rights Commission complaint from him citing gender identity discrimination, and to settle it in the AHRC before it escalated to federal court, I would have had to agree to let him on, let all men who claim to be women on, go to sex and gender education, and moderate all content on the platform so that men who claim to be women weren't offended, basically rendering the whole platform completely useless, and not only wanting to come in, but then also controlling how women speak in that environment. And there was just no way I was agreeing to that. So I said no to conciliation, which meant it wasn't settled in the AHRC. And he had the option to file in federal court, which he did. And it's been a very long process. He sort of withdrew and then refiled, and the court let it go ahead because it's in the public interest, which I think that they're right about that.
Yep.
The Australian Human Rights Commission intervened as amicus curiae, which is friend of the court, and they're there to interpret the law. And we had the hearing for it in April of this year. And we are currently waiting for the verdict, which will happen I would say anytime in around the next 6 to 8 weeks, we'll get a verdict, because 3 to 6 months from the hearing is around the time when you get a verdict in the federal court. And from the AHRC days, from very early days of this, my barrister has always told me this case is going to the High Court. So we're fully aware whether it's us taking it to the High Court or the other side, that's where it's going to go.
And ultimately, the decision is of great precedent, I would imagine.
Yes. So why the Tickle v. Giggle case is so important is it's the first What Is a Woman case. It is the first court case that actually directly tackles the conflict of gender identity and sex in law. And Australian law and New Zealand, as we'll get to in a second, is very positioned to do this because legislation is all of our legislations are based on different conventions and treaties under international law. And it's basically how all of the good countries in the world keep each other in check and make sure we're all sort of heading in a similar-ish direction. And so our Sex Discrimination Act is based on CEDAW, which is the Convention of the Elimination of Discrimination of Women. And it's basically an international bill of rights for women. It was written in 1979 when they didn't put a definition of woman in there because they didn't see this coming then. No, they didn't think they'd put a definition of woman in there. But when you read the entire document, it's very clear that this is a document about biological reality. And actually, if any sort of concept of gender in there in terms of stereotypes, it is to sort of eradicate them and not have them be used against women. So Australia became a signatory of CEDAW in 1983, and then we put it into effect into our law with the Sex Discrimination Act in 1984. Then in 2013, they put the amendments in, putting gender identity in there. And the issue is that once you put if you do an amendment to the Act, it has to still be in line with CEDAW. Otherwise, it's in breach of CEDAW and it's unconstitutional. And so the gender activists, and they've done this all around the world, have argued a few different things. One, that some of the conventions surrounding CEDAW that have been ratified by the CEDAW countries, while none of them have agreed to gender identity in any which way, there's some documents that say sexual orientation and other status, and they argue that that other status is gender identity. And then there's also the Yogyakarta principles, which are essentially the minutes to a meeting from a human rights meeting in Yogyakarta, Indonesia, in 2010, I think it was, which was for sexual orientation and gender identity rights. And they basically just presented this as if it's a ratified document that needs to be recognized in law, but it's actually been rejected by the UN and all 189 countries that are the signatory of CEDAW. So I remember one time my lawyer was explaining this to me and I was just like, so they've just lied. But when we remember that the premise is a lie, they're saying men can be women. So once you've made that lie, everything that flows from that is probably going to be a lie as well. And you're sort of a fool if you expect the truth. So Tickle v. Giggle is we're doing a constitutional challenge as part of our defense, which that it's been argued in federal court. But once it goes to the High Court, that would be a pure constitutional challenge defense. Then there's no more he said, she said. Then it really just is an error in law court. So once we defend CEDAW as it being for biological females, like there's any other kind, but for females and men aren't women in international law, and that can be reestablished in Australian law. All other countries that are signatories of CEDAW can use the precedent of Tickle v. Giggle get women's rights back in their countries as well. Because when you have what's sort of this new novel law like this, like gender identity, there is no case history anywhere. So all jurisdictions look to each other and because of CEDAW is what actually ties us all together anyway. So, yeah, it's basically the courts are how we're going to get all of our rights back. It's how it's happened in England as well, as a lot of their rights have come through wins in the court because politicians have been particularly cowardly on this issue. But I mean, that's basically
so that's epic that it could set a standard everywhere. I didn't kind of know it went to that level. You might have told us before, but I'd forgotten that. Who funded, just curious, who funded Tickle?
The taxpayers, essentially. It was, he had a pro bono legal team, so solicitors and barristers, and then with the AHRC intervening, they're very much on his side because they're sitting there saying, yeah, men can be women. I mean, it's mind-blowing, the stuff that they have said. I think it's chilling. They're taxpayer-funded government body. So,
and who funded you? I'm sure mine there are people supporting, but
mine. So my legal fees for federal court were $500,000. And we funded it by crowdfunding, and it was literally the generosity of strangers from all over the world. I sometimes get like sort of when I just sort of think about it and I get blown away by it, that people helped me raise $500,000 to pay for it. And we did it. Like I can't believe it. It's just, so all I can say is like to say thank you is that we'll work to get women's rights back. But when we go to the High Court, it'll be another $500,000 to $750,000. So all up by the end of this, it'll be $1.2 million, which while it is insane and we shouldn't have to pay anything because if politicians were doing their job, they could just go and fix this for free in a week. At the same time, I'm just like, okay, if someone said, get $1 million and you can get your rights back, would you do it? Yes. So yeah, I'm trying to find the silver lining.
Yeah. Do you think that was in the minds of your the opposing forces, let's say, that there's a high bar on money involved to fight this? And obviously they're funded and they're paid, and usually, you know, usually they go away, you know, is kind of the default maybe.
Yeah, I think so. And because it had worked, there were lots of different women and companies that they had intimidated over the last few years. I just... Yeah, I mean, I'm within my family, I'm quite known for my stubbornness. So
okay. I just don't. So they're not surprised.
Yeah. Like, so yeah. I suppose, you know, you just, I'm either right time, right place, or wrong time, wrong place, no matter which, depending on how you want to look at it. But I mean, it never, ever occurred. Like, there was never a thought in my mind of just backing down.
I still see defenses, and we'll talk about you coming to NZ in just a moment, but I still see people putting up very strong defenses supporting trans rights, even though, as you say, you know, this is starting to really become a well-known thing that's happened to us and people are waking up. What do you make of those people who sort of still think the war's on, you know, and they're still running around the jungle thinking the war's on? And do you think that there will be some sort of, you know, breaking of the dam on it, and you'll see the politicians and the people who crowd out the you know, the human rights commissions and all those organizations suddenly flip? Is that what you're anticipating?
Yeah, I think I don't think that there's going to be sort of this day of reckoning or anything. I think what will happen, especially once the detransitioner lawsuits start, like once the kids start coming for doctors and institutions who transitioned them. Like, for example, when the Australian Human Rights Commission applied to intervene in our in Tickle v Giggle in their documents, which are publicly available on the federal court website, so I can talk about them. It's public knowledge. They list all of the cases that they've intervened in to get to trans children, to get hormones and surgery to children. They're in on this. So they have no choice but to double down. They can't admit they're wrong because essentially it's human rights abuses is what they've done.
Yeah.
So I think they'll go down with the ship. And I don't think that it's going to be like suddenly a lot of people going, oh my gosh, we got that really wrong. How did we do this? Or anyone being punished for it. I think that people will pretend it never happened.
Right. I think you're right. Mind you, people have been hurt and harmed big time. There has to be justice for those people. And many of them are very young, or were young when, if we're talking about transitioning, caught up in this. I see it as actually like some weird form of child sacrifice, actually. That never went down very well in any culture in the end. And there has to be justice and people have to pay something.
I think in that part of it, that's probably where we'll see the most justice happen. Like, I just think if any doctor who has been involved in what is effectively sterilizing children and mutilating their bodies.
Mutilating them. And some with obvious signs of self-harm before. Oh,
completely. I think those people belong in jail. Prison for a very, very long time. But I think that's probably where we will see some things like that happen. But in terms of like this part of it, of just like they destroyed women's rights and things like that, it'll just be like, oh, well, there'll be a lot of people that will, I think, will just come out and being like, oh, no, I was never for that. And be going, I will lose my mind.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for bringing us up to date on that. So you made a point about where we're at in New Zealand, and we've sort of seen all this happen and had time to think about it and put the brakes on, yet we're still sort of like hurtling towards something.
Yeah, I mean, I was really optimistic, like, you know, with the new government and everything, that that there was some sense coming back into New Zealand, because you guys were about as bad as what we were, you know, about 18 months ago. So I've been quite optimistic, but the fact that there is anybody that's wanting to go and do amendments to the Human Rights Act, which your Human Rights Act is based on CEDAW. Australia and New Zealand are very unique because we essentially put CEDAW into effect in full in our legislation. So they actually can't do it. It's not that they're not allowed to. Like, they could go and create a different piece of legislation for gender identity if they wanted to. Fine, it'd still have to work with all other laws. But the reason they don't go and do that is because just having gender identity protected in law is utterly meaningless unless it is to say that that person is the opposite sex, that they can go and use women's spaces, or a man can go into women's spaces or into women's sport. There's no point to it otherwise. Like, what's the function of it? Because at the end of the day, the state actually shouldn't be involved in your identity, of like your inner feelings or whatever you think. Like, you should be protected under like some sort of freedom of belief to think whatever you want, and that's fine. Like, I don't begrudge a man if he wants to wear a dress and call himself a woman, like, and that's what gets you out of bed in the morning to live your best life. Like, okay, like, then you're going to experience some hardships with that. But if that's what makes you feel good, fine. There's only an issue when it starts to take away everybody else's rights, which that's what's happening, and that's what we're fighting back against. But if it really was just a movement about self-expression, there wouldn't be that many people against that.
Mm.
And so that's why, you know, when they're constantly, the trans activist mantra is basically, you know, we don't want them to exist. No, it's like all human beings who are currently alive exist. Like, congratulations.
Yeah.
It's just what are your rights and what are my rights? And are you taking away my rights? Because say a male being able to go into a female space, it's not a right. That would be a privilege. That would be something beyond what anyone else has. Been changing birth, like being able to edit your birth certificate, I don't think anyone should be able to do that. It's a historical document of your birth. So, you know, it's just, but when you've got an ideology that is based on nonsense, as I said before, it's based on a lie. So everything that follows from that is also a lie. And so the only way they can sort of get these laws in is by lying, by force, and then by stealth. And I do think New Zealand has missed the boat, but it's just going to be a matter of the people in the country, the citizens, understanding what is happening and what it means. Like, if you get gender identity into your Human Rights Act, then okay, if you're in the workplace and you're being told that you have to call this male a woman, and you don't want to because you can clearly see that he's a male and that's what you know, well, you may no longer have rights anymore. If you have a daughter who is great at sport and then suddenly there's a boy there and he's taking all of her opportunities because he's saying he's a girl, well, where are her rights then? So this is why it is really important, because it does take away everyone else's rights, man, woman, and child, for this supposed minority. Of however many people, but this small minority is undoing everything in society, like rules, laws, categories, and just our perception of reality.
You wonder where the power comes from. Would it surprise you to know that our Minister of Mental Health in the new government used to work at the Tavistock Clinic?
Oh, my God.
You see?
I know that. Yeah. See, they are all connected. That is what's crazy. It is this, they're all coming from the same place. I mean, Stonewall in the UK, which was sort of their leading gay rights organization, which was a great organization, and then it got gay marriage and then it completely changed to gender-based activism. They have a lot to answer for around the globe, because a lot of the other, a lot of other countries sort of just took all of their materials and then implemented them. Like, we've got an organization here called ACON, which they are basically just Australia's Stonewall. They just copy and pasted the documents and crossed out the UK and written Australia when applicable. And it's exactly what would be happening in New Zealand as well. And they are one of the ones that just went and lied and said things like the Yogyakarta principles and, you know, this is law, this is all fine. And no, it's not.
Boy, I wonder how it's going to be looked back on. Like,
I think they will pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, like you said before.
Yeah, yeah, I really, really do, because especially sort of that managerial class, I mean, they're the ones that are really going to want to pretend that it never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay, good to catch up with you again. Thanks for updating us on Tickle versus Giggle. And I'll just tell folks the dates real soon. So starting this week, you're in Auckland, 4th of July. New Plymouth hometown.
Yeah, it's my dad's firm.
6th of July, 9th in Wellington, 10th in Christchurch. Jill Ovens and the Women's Rights Party are holding the public meetings. And you are the keynote speaker, right?
It's going to be awesome. I'm very, very excited about it. We've actually, the New Plymouth location is top secret at the moment, I believe, because we did have a venue cancel on us because of trans activists.
Oh, that's the other problem that happens.
That's okay. At the end, we'll go to my nana's house. We'll get it done.
At nana's house. All right. Sal Grover, thanks for coming back on, and be really interesting to hear how that goes.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.